Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
Now earthly King so great and seen,
who rules all worlds in majesty,
Good morning, Oscoda and Taos areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day, and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m., and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Again, just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. First of all, Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. I pray that this year has brought you closer to God, and that the peace of Christ rests in your life and heart this day. While the world prepares to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, in our reading, we have the despicable actions of a man that follows his birth. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And there it is, God at work, right? But God didn't do anything. Well, I mean, he sent some warnings through dreams. This is God at work? Yes, it is. Remember, Matthew's gospel is God being God and not behaving the way humans behave. So as an example, how would humans have done this? Guards? An army? A whole angelic army? Wouldn't we have done anything and everything to ensure the safety of our child? Especially the child that is supposed to save the whole timeline of humanity? And what does God do? Joseph, a just man, a good man. And that is all that Matthew has told us about Joseph. We know more about Joseph from other texts, but we try not to let that ruin Matthew's point. Please stay in his gospel only. Matthew is showing us Joseph against Herod, God against Satan, good against evil. It is no surprise that good prevails. It is, however, a surprise how good prevails. how God does things. This is the lesson that we need to learn from Matthew over and over again. God does things differently than we would. Learn this. Take it to heart. The sooner we figure this out, the sooner we can start to figure out the good that God intends for us to do as well. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, people are constantly asking the question, "What is God's will for me?" And the answer is right there. God's will is that we would do good works, just as Joseph did, just as the wise men did, unlike Herod. What Herod did, that was pure evil. He stood opposed to God, and you can tell because he took the route of killing. Death is the opposite of God. God gives life. God sent his son Jesus to give us eternal life. Herod took life. But this section of Matthew is more than just that. At the beginning of our reading, Joseph is instructed by the Lord to take Jesus to Egypt. While humanly speaking, we may perceive this as merely an attempt to save the child's life, and most often we only see it this way, Matthew tells us instead that this is actually God's plan, for there is fulfillment of Scripture in this action. And that is very important to us. This prophecy, "Out of Egypt, I called my son," is crucial. Now, since Matthew wants us to look at Hosea, let us do so. Turn with me to Matthew's quotation. Turn to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols." Whoa, wait. This verse has Israel as a child, not listening to God, but instead engaging in rampant idolatry. Is Matthew telling us that Jesus engaged in idolatry? No. What Matthew is telling us is that Jesus is not Israel. Jesus is what Israel was supposed to be. Jesus is the child of God, obedient in every way. Israel, when God called him, not only ignored God, but actually moved farther away from God, even as God called him. Idolatry. Jesus, on the other hand, he was obedient in all ways to the Father, always doing what the Father told him to do. This is Matthew. He has God doing things not in a human way, but in God's ways. "Out of Egypt I've called my son," and Jesus came. What a stark contrast between those two. Likewise, Matthew gives us another prophecy fulfillment when Herod kills all the young male children in Bethlehem. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." Ramah? Rachel? What is Matthew playing at? Who is Ramah? Who is Rachel? And the reality is this place, Ramah, isn't as nearly important as the who is Rachel. For there are many places named Ramah throughout history, but there's only one Rachel. Rachel was the favored wife of Jacob, the one who gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin. And Bethlehem, while Judah, is right next to Benjamin territory. Rachel was the loved wife of Jacob, children of Rachel. But since Matthew tells us that he's indeed quoting from Jeremiah, let us go look at more than just that one verse. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 15. "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. I have heard Ephraim grieving You have disciplined me, and I was disciplined like an untrained calf. Bring me back, that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. See, from Jeremiah's day, Judah was in bad shape. They had been invaded numerous times by several nations, from the Assyrians to the Babylonians. But there was always this promise that there would be a remnant. There would always be survivors for the Jews. There's hope. There's a future. The nation carries forward. There will be descendants. And see, in Jeremiah's day, Judah was going into captivity for 70 years. And then they were supposed to return, which they indeed do after 70 years. So what does this have to do with Jesus? And just as the promise was given to Judah in the time of Jeremiah, that there would be a remnant, that there would be a future, God's promise holds true in the days of Jesus. There is a future. Yeah. But Herod just killed all the kids in Bethlehem. What future is there? And the answer is the child went to Egypt. Jesus is the future. There is the future. And it isn't as if Jesus is the only thing. See, because Jesus came to give life. He came to give eternal life. And when he returns, those who are in Jesus will be resurrected if they're dead. And those that are alive will be caught up together with those that are resurrected to meet the Lord in the air. These children did not die in vain. There is still hope. There is still future because there is still Jesus. That's Matthew's point. These children, they didn't die in vain. Their sacrifice enabled Jesus to continue because Herod is fooled. He thinks he's gotten rid of the child. But the child's in Egypt. And so the story moves on. This whole section of Matthew is a contrast between the two. We have mankind versus God. And not to give away any secrets, but God always wins. God does things his way. And we need to learn his ways. As Christians, Matthew is teaching us God's ways. So the question, are we listening? Are we paying attention to Matthew's lessons for us? Or are we just reading through, hey, this is the story of the birth of Christ, and let's move on from here. Pay attention. I want to read a psalm today that connects very clearly with what we just read in the Gospel of Matthew. Turn to Psalm 2. And this psalm is, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Now, I know Matthew doesn't quote this psalm, but notice the similarities of ideas that are brought out in both Matthew's Gospel and Psalm 2. Remember, Matthew has brought out Joseph versus Herod, God versus man, good versus evil. Now, obviously, not everyone is Herod. Not everyone is evil like Herod was. Not everyone is Joseph. And God? God does things differently than man. And then we have Jesus. Jesus is obedient, doing things differently than man. Jesus is obedient, unlike Israel and Judah, in this example of Matthew's. Both Israel and Judah engaged in idolatry, disobedient to God, looking to find anything and everything except follow God. And then we've got Jesus doing things differently. because he listens to the Father. For proof of this, I want to give us one last set of scriptures, and then the lesson is all yours for today. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus says this, "So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him.'" So let me encourage you today. Matthew has clearly laid out for us mankind fighting against God and God being victorious over mankind. Specifically, in this situation, we have Herod. We have a king, a ruler, the authorities fighting against God. And he fails. He fails spectacularly. He will take the lives of innocent children in an effort to continue his power and carry it forward. And he still fails. So the question for you today is, will you join with Jesus? Will you be obedient to the Father? Will you listen to what he says and follow him? Or will you unite yourself with Herod and his ilk? Will you choose good over evil? Because the choice is yours. And this choice is one that we constantly need to make. While I didn't bring this out in our study today, this little section of Matthew's gospel, it is not just a period of days. This section covers a number of years, because Joseph is going to go down to Egypt. And while he's down there, Herod is going to die. And then Joseph's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to discover that there's still rulers that would want to take Jesus's life. And so Joseph is going to move over to Nazareth. And by the way, Nazareth, this section of the gospel, Nazareth, why is it important that he's called a Nazarene? And the answer is because in Hebrew, Nazareth sounds very similar to Nazaret, meaning a branch. Jesus is a branch of the Davidic line, which Matthew has already proven to us by giving us the genealogy earlier in the gospel. And so Jesus fulfills these prophecies, man against God, and Jesus being obedient to the God all the way through this section. And of course, God wins. So let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you to not follow Herod, but instead to follow Joseph, to follow Jesus, to be obedient to the Father, to choose the good. God has created us for good works. Are you choosing the good today? Listen to the Father. Walk with Jesus. Be obedient to God. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F-41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me. My phone number is 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you.
And I thank you, 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 thank you.
Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. Jesus, I thank you, gratefully thank you.
I thank you, thank you, thank you. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you.
And I thank you, 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 thank you.
Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. Jesus, I thank you, gratefully thank you.
And I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is all. Standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. Standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. We are standing on holy ground. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.